Welcome to Pulling Crayons, where I, Ryan, and my co-host Jeremy talk about things we wish we'd learned by now. Today, we're going to be talking about running marathons.
Oh, yeah.
What up? So, I thought that we would start today. Jeremy ran his first marathon in...
May.
Was it May?
May 1st, I think.
That's a terrible time to run a marathon in LA, but...
Yeah, it was brutal.
I thought I would ask you about that experience.
Yeah. And then after I talk about my experience, Ryan can talk about the 10 marathons he's run.
It's only 8. But
only 8. Only yeah. 8.
But I'm not very good at it. But I want to... I've forgotten the pain and misery of the first marathon. So tell me what was running through your
That's
head
true.
Day of.
Day of, I was nervous. Like, in running, you want to make sure nothing's in your system. And so you want to, like, go to the bathroom and, like, make sure that you have enough food but not too much food in your stomach, stuff like that. But waking up at, like, 4:30 and then trying to eat, use the restroom, and go through, like, the normal process of, like, what a morning would look like 4 hours before you might do it normally, that's, like, that was pretty difficult, I'd say. So I think within the first, like, 3 miles, I had to stop to use, like, a porta potty. Not for number two, just for number one, but after that, it was chilling. I maybe used the bathroom once after that. I don't know why that's where my mind went when he asked how what was going through my mind, but
I mean that is I think that's legitimate. I've ran 8, and 6 of them I was a college student. Yeah, it took me six and a half years to graduate college. But 6 of them I was...
Did it really?
Yeah, I did.
That's awesome.
Yeah, classic. Took me 4 years to get through community college, but I would do it again. But the first 6, I didn't really have time or chose not to put my time towards marathon training.
Jeez.
And so I would just kind of run them. But I also had a all types of messed up sleep schedule because of college.
Yeah.
And these last two that I ran... were the first that I ran while having, like, a full-time job and a regular sleep schedule.
Oh, yeah.
And so waking up at 4:30 is much harder when your normal wake-up time is 8 to 9 a.m.
Right.
But when your regular wake-up time is 6, you're like, oh.
Yeah, it doesn't feel as drastic. For me, I think my job is now finally requiring me to be on a consistent wake-up schedule for the most part. So I think it'd be more bearable now. And I've done it before. So, like, I think I just had so many jitters, too. It wasn't hard getting up, but it was, like, getting through all the normal kind of prep stuff and of, like, mentally almost. But I also knew of one of, like, my old bosses and mentors was also running it. So I was also kind of, like, looking out for him. But then it's, like, super dark because it's, like, 5 in the morning. And everyone's just doing their own thing. And you kind of get, like... I was a little bit, like, what should I do to, like, get started for the race? Because some people will be, like, jogging around. Some people will literally be sitting. Some people will just be, like, I don't know, just doing random stuff, like, stretches and stuff, and everyone's doing something different, and so you almost are like, what should I actually do right now when I'm waiting for like 30 minutes before the race starts?
Yeah, I get the, like, what should you be doing? I realize, though, when I'm running, most of the people don't really have a lot of experience doing, like, the marathon stuff, so I think they're seeing other people do stuff, and they're like,
and then, well, they just do it.
I've got to do something.
Yeah.
The only
That's how I was.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I was like, oh, I should probably kick my legs or something. Doing, like, dynamic warm-ups.
Yeah. I run with a charity because I'm a good person. And so the one that I ran in March was with my buddy Patrick. And we just did what we normally do before we start running, which is just chop it up, do a little bit of stretching, and then go through misery for miles. But when I ran Berlin in September, that one's like a serious race. 45,000 people doing it. Like, you get in via lottery. It's one of the big 6.
45,000?
45,000. But what I wasn't used to is LA does 25 and they just release everybody at once. Berlin, they do waves and it's like 30 to 40 minutes between waves. And so I got there, was ready to go by 9 a.m., like in the mental state to run a marathon by 9 a.m. And we didn't start, I think, until like 10:15. And so
jeez.
I was like, man, I probably could have used like a short like
nap.
Yeah, no. Or a short run around.
Oh, I see.
Or something to get myself into the mind state because I was so used to just running the same like type of gambit that when it took an extra hour longer than normal, I was in misery.
Yeah.
Like my back was hurting just standing, waiting.
Really?
And I was like, I swear if this extends through the marathon, I'm going to be...
Did it?
No, but my Achilles was hurting and I didn't have any real Achilles pain. Well, marathon training, so I ended up saying, you know what, we're gonna take an L on this one. We're gonna run slower than we were hoping to. We're not PRing today.
How much do you walk when you run your marathons? Which for most people that sounds kind of counterintuitive, but
I walk for sure all of the rest, water stations because you're just gonna splash water into your face and it's gonna get uncomfortable. And then I also will, like, take small walk breaks probably every couple miles after mile, like, 13.
Yeah.
Like, I'll walk for, like, a little bit. And it's probably never more than, like, 30 seconds.
Yeah, yeah.
And then I do that until my body just is absolutely breaking down, like, cramping. And that's usually around, like, 20 to 22. Mm-hmm. And then it's, like, walk running to the end.
Yeah, because... I mean, this is finally a subject that you and I both have experience in, more or less, but your body is, I mean, you probably could argue me as I say this, but I've heard that your body's you're not supposed to run more than, like, 18 miles, like, in the sense of, humans definitely can, and they do significantly more than that. But your body starts to, like, break down and starts breaking down, like, to get energy, it starts breaking itself down more than just, like, the food that's in your system or something like that. Is that,
have you heard that? It's probably, like, the anaerobic process is just going ham.
Yeah.
And it probably only has so much that it should do. Because it is true, like, the 18-mile run, like, it's tiring. But it's not that bad. But the 26-mile run, which I get there's an 8-mile difference between that. Yeah. But functionally, once you're out 18 miles, what's another 8 miles?
Yeah, yeah.
Your system just is not handling it very well.
Yeah, because that's when my body started to, like, physically break down. Like, I could feel it actually breaking down. Because when I was, like... I remember getting to the halfway point and being like, "Oof, there's a long way to go." And because I had done a half marathon prior, like an actual race just for the fun of it, a couple months prior. And in that race, I ended up pushing myself too hard in the last 3 miles because my watch was reading, I thought it was reading my pace. But it was reading my average pace for the entire race. So I was like, I'm not slowing down. And I started picking it up. And my last, like, 3 miles were probably, like, I don't know, 8:15 miles. 8-minute, 15-second miles for... And it just, like... I kind of, like, wrecked my foot in a way. Like, I think... I don't know. My ankle just was, like...
Not all right with
it. It was not all right for, like, the next month. So I took, like, a month off for the most part and then started training again for another month before running the marathon. So, compared to your first marathon, had a significant amount more training than you did, it sounds like. But I still only had run 18 miles as my largest run. And I think I'd run, like, 14 and 18. And that was the furthest I'd run before doing the actual marathon.
Which is pretty good distance. So when I was, like, studying for this, because I've done enough that I know where my body's at and I know where I can and can't push it.
Mm-hmm.
But apparently, the generally accepted advice is to not run further than 20 miles.
Yeah. Do you do that? Do you
run? I never do more than 20. I'll do multiple 20s, but I won't do further than 20.
Right. I wish I had gotten up to 20. I think if I had that extra month that I took off, I would have, but it would have been nice to get that a little bit more of those miles. Because with running, for beginners, it seems like people think, okay, every run I do progressively has to be either farther or faster.
Mm-hmm.
And that's not really how you get better scientifically.
No.
A lot of studies show that you really just have to put miles on your body,
mm-hmm.
regardless of how fast it is. Obviously, doing faster runs that are shorter, like sprints or different types of runs like that, can create like stronger muscles and just like more cardiovascular health. But for the most part, the thing that gets your body used to running distances like you would do for a marathon is just running more,
mm-hmm.
like running 5 days a week instead of 3 days a week, or running over the course of years rather than just running over the course of 2 months before a race.
Yeah. Yeah, I've heard, at least with marathon training, and if anyone here is like listening to us and like, oh, I want to run a marathon, don't listen to only what we have to say. There's like a million articles out there. There are books if you want to read them. There are running groups probably tailored towards running a marathon together. Talk to them and see what they're doing. Find like a training plan. But one of the things that they say you should do is you should run a far distance, stop, or run a far distance 1 week on your long run day, like say 15 miles, and then the following week you're going to run 14 miles. You're going to drop it back down, and then the next week you'll go like 15, 16, or 16, 17, 18 miles. And that apparently helps your body recover well in between long runs, as well as push itself further. So you don't want to just like run every day. You want to give yourself rest. You want to drop back and then push forward again. Kind of like if you thought about miles in terms of like hills, so like 30 miles in a week is a lot. You want to drop to like 28 the following week and then go to like 34, if that makes sense.
You're saying like every week should like kind of fluctuate slightly?
Yeah, you should be oscillating is the mathematic term, but oscillating with an upward trend. So like 30 miles, 29, 33.
Yeah, because I've also read that you should only increase mileage by like 5% or 10% a week or something like that.
10% is generally accepted.
10, yeah. So if you run like 6 miles in a week, you know, you do a few 2 miles, a few 1 miles, then you should only run 0.6 more. So like 6.5 essentially, and the next week, and then after that, you know, just increment like slowly. And I don't think half mile versus a mile like matters significantly,
not much,
but I do know that when I, because I started doing training this year in January, and I was running in May. So I had like 4 months, at the beginning of May. So I had like 4 months of legitimate, like following a training plan. And for me, that was pretty, I think I pushed myself a little bit because I didn't do all the runs. So I kind of wasn't actually following the plan exactly.
Mm-hmm.
So I did like 3 out of 5 runs in the week, and then maybe 2 out of 5. And then it was, so I kind of loosely followed the plan. So I think I'm running more consistently now. I'm doing smaller distances right now because I haven't started the build for a marathon just quite yet, which Ryan and I are going to be running in March, the LA Marathon.
The 19th, if anyone wants to join us.
Yeah, we could have we'll create a Pulling Crayons Run Club, PCRC.
Yeah, it'll just be a bunch of morons running together.
And yeah, the back will say, I'm with moron, and it just points up.
I have a question for you. When you ran, your marathon, did you do any strength training, or was it just straight running?
I didn't do strength training. It was running mainly.
I've heard that strength training is like really a great way to prevent injury.
Yeah. Have you done it?
I've been doing it for this one in March. So I technically did it for my one in LA because my wife and I have a personal trainer.
So LA was when?
In March. Was this last March. Year. Yeah.
Yeah. So like 6 months ago.
And so I was doing like strength training and it was really helpful. And then I didn't do it for Berlin, and my time dropped 20 minutes in the negative direction.
Yeah.
So I didn't go down. Oh, yeah, yeah. I went up.
Yeah.
And I'm curious if, like, that just two workouts a week where we were doing not that much leg stuff and some upper body stuff was really beneficial for me.
Yeah. I started doing, have you heard of the knees over toes guy?
No.
His whole theory is that, you have, well, I'll butcher this, but what I understand of his theory, you have three joints, you have ankle, knee, and hip joints in your legs,
mm-hmm.
and traditional weightlifting has, like, said, you know, your butt has to go, your knees can't go over your toes, your butt has to go back. And that's how you do, like, squats and stuff. But more modern research has shown, like, to actually strengthen those three joints, you need to kind of strengthen by exertion, kind of. So he's really big on, and he has, like, over a million followers on Instagram at this point. But he's big on, like, extending your knees past your toes when doing, like, lunges or squats or different things like that. Because that will strengthen the patella tendon in the knee, and then tibia bone, I have muscle.
No idea.
So the front of the shin has a muscle too that's really important for strength in the legs and kind of bulletproofing your knees, and then also doing exercises that strengthen your hips, and I think for runners, like, hip flexors are really important, and yeah. Especially really all of it is really important. And so I've started doing his program, and it's pretty simple, the exercises, and you're not, like, lifting heavy weights, at least in the segment that I'm in, but you're doing more so, like lunges, squats, like, different, like, particular exercises that really focus on certain muscles, like, especially the front of the shin and stuff, because
mm-hmm.
I have a lot of, like, patellar tendon soreness in a lot of ways, so that's, like, right on the, under the kneecap, mm-hmm. and for the marathon training I was doing and for the marathon, I had some type of, like, braces that I would always run with. So I would have, like, patellar straps around my knees that are just kind of like a band that holds kind of the tendon there so it doesn't, like, get, like, too loose and create pain. And then for the actual marathon, I use, like, KT tape instead of those, like, bands because the bands get sweaty and they kind of just, like, end up slipping down and it's uncomfortable. But the tape stays more in place. Just to kind of put pressure on it to, like, support. And I did the marathon, finished it. I hit, like, a 4:35 time. And then after that, I took a break and then started doing this, like, knees over toes training program. And since then, I haven't had to run with any knee support like I have had to do that before because I'm strengthening. I've strengthened my like leg muscles specifically to, like, endure kind of the mileage a little bit. And I've kind of gotten off it the last month, but for the most part, it's been pretty helpful. So I want to keep trying to do that and actually work that in.
Yeah, I don't know anything about that, so I won't comment on it. I've just been doing, like, small workouts. So I'll do some upper body stuff because that's good for you with running, apparently. And, you know, you want to look good, you know? When your wife makes more money than you, you better look hot.
Yeah, I wish that...
That runs both ways, I suppose.
Yeah. I want to be the best trophy husband I can be.
Yeah.
And that's going to take some work.
Yeah.
You have to put in the effort.
Jasmine's going back to night shift this week.
Oh, yeah.
And it's rough on her. And so I think the only fair thing to do is to make sure she comes home to a clean house and just a ripped body.
Oh, yeah. I'm trying to find this knees over toes guy so I can show you what he does.
Yeah. But with my running, I've been running 10Ks. I've been trying to do 10Ks minimum. So 6.2 miles.
Every run?
Yeah, I'm only doing it a couple days a week.
Oh, okay.
So like Monday, Tuesday, Thursday, 10Ks. And then tomorrow I'll probably do like 10 to 12 miles. I haven't decided yet.
Dang.
And then plan...
Sorry, this is... He like... Well, he's ripped in this one, but he looks just jacked. But it's just strengthening, like, the knees.
We're looking at this on Instagram right now.
Yeah, so he'll do, like, these different knee exercises to build. So this is maybe a, we're looking at a modified version of some, like, motion. But he has, like, insane flexibility, dude.
And this guy, he's a runner?
No, he played basketball for most of his life and then had to get, like, knee replacement surgery. But he still has, like, strengthened his actual, like, muscles to be able to, like, do all this. So, he can, like, this guy can, he's this, like, white guy, probably 6'1", like, can just dunk and yam it pretty much.
Yeah, I mean... It makes sense, because it looks like he's doing only calisthenics, so all body weight stuff.
No, he doesn't.
He does weights,
too? No, yeah,
too?
He does actual weights. He's just, a lot of his videos are just demonstrating the movements,
mm-hmm.
but he has, like, longer YouTube videos where he will talk about, like, what body percentage of, how much the different movements, how high you should cap yourself with different body, like, movements. So, like... if he does a knees over toes lunge, where he basically tries to touch his calf to his bottom of his thigh, and just like flat footed, so you need like ankle mobility and you know really mm-hmm. flexibility for that. And he'll do like a barbell on his shoulders and do like a percentage of his body weight and different things like that. So his muscles are like dense. Because, like, it's not, like, bodybuilding. It can be applied to, I think, bodybuilders. But, like, his goal is to just, I think, overall health. Which I, like, resonated with for, like, running. Because, I mean, maybe Ryan wants to be, like, yoked when his wife comes home. But I want just dense muscles. Because that's what's, like, effective for running, I think.
Yeah. I think you want to be as light as possible.
Yeah.
Is, I think, the idea.
And there's cool people on Instagram, like, have you heard of Nick Bear? He has a supplements company, but he's, like, a...
Of course.
Yeah, of course. But he's, like, a bodybuilder, or he used to be, but he also does, like, marathons, ultramarathons. His fastest marathon time was, like, 250 or 248 or something, so he's, like, he, like, legit runs marathons,
mm-hmm.
but he'll, like, alternate between, like, bulking with bodybuilding and then like
cutting
with running, and he did like a Ironman as well, so he's like a hybrid athlete is what he calls himself. So
I find that actually really impressive.
Oh no, he's way more impressive to me than a lot of, I mean, it's to do multiple sports is really challenging.
Yeah. I cannot stand when you get like the guys who are like hyper masculine. And they're like, if you're not lifting weights, then you're not doing it right. And I'm like, bro,
yeah.
You can't even run a mile and a half.
Yeah, yeah, it's...
You're gonna come at me? Like, your mind is weak.
It's purely, like, aesthetic purposes
mm-hmm.
for certain Weight Watchers. Weight Watchers is for purely aesthetics as well. But weight...
It can be for health, I suppose. If you're, like... massively overweight and you're like, I want to lose some weight because I'm gonna die.
I wish mentally that I could just be super fat and be okay with it, but I just could not. Probably
I've only ever gotten to overweight on the BMI scale, which is where I currently am, but I got so close to obese. And
really?
I saw during the pandemic, my wife and I were going to Taco Bell frequently.
Yeah.
First, like, 2 months.
Yeah.
And I, like,
gained... But you're also really tall.
Yeah.
So I think it would take a lot
for you. I think I was at 237, might have been my, like, mm-hmm. highest weight. I'm at 212, 213 now.
That's so solid.
For, like, if I really want to run marathons fast, I probably need to lose another 15 to 20 pounds.
Yeah.
Just due to every pound you lose is approximately...
We should make a bet on who runs the fastest.
On marathon day?
Uh-huh.
Dude, I would bet money on you, but...
Well, that takes the fun out of the competition.
Hey, let me tell you right now, if you don't think that I'm already thinking to myself...
You have to do
whatever it takes to beat Jeremy in both speed and fundraising.
Yeah, because... So, tell people what the fundraising side of it is.
So, we are running with Team World Vision. If you've heard of World Vision, you probably don't need much more explanation than that. But Team World Vision, they are the largest provider of aid that is in a government agency.
The largest supplier of AIDS.
AIDS. Just one.
I'm going to get kicked off Team World Vision.
Gets punted. No, they probably wouldn't. Probably not. I don't know. But they...
I'm still bringing money into their organization.
Yeah, you're still doing good. But they... The team specifically is for water. And so $50 provides somebody with access to clean water for life. And so...
For life.
For life. Not for a year.
I'm not even just doing that as, like, a co-host typing. That's, like, actually crazy.
Yeah. And so they, like, have wash programs. And so essentially we're stepping in because I think it's 800 children die a day from water-based diseases.
That's crazy.
And it was 1,600 in 2015. And so as a race, humanity as a whole, we're making forward progress on this. But until that number is zero or close to zero...
It won't ever be zero, but...
Yeah, but we can get it closer to zero.
Yeah.
Until we get that number closer, we're going to keep going. But you can prevent a whole bunch of issues by providing people with clean water. And so Jeremy and I are both running for that. If you would like to donate... My link is in my bio on Instagram.
I'd be fine saying that any support of the podcast would go towards the World Vision.
Yeah, Team World Vision.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's...
Because we already make... Our wives make so much money that this is just a passion project.
This is 100% a passion project. I told my wife about it, and I was like, oh, yeah, just the hosting for the podcast, it's going to be $12 a month. She's like, I don't care. I'm like, thanks, sponsor.
Thanks, so sponsor.
We don't need a Patreon because we already have two Patreons. Yeah.
our matriarch Patreon.
You got close there.
Yeah,
you
okay. We'll cut that.
But anyway, no, that one's just going to be in the intro indefinitely. But, Jeremy, I don't know if he knows this, but in my head, as soon as Jeremy signed up to run, because we're on a team together, as soon as he signed up to run, I set two goals in my head. One, run faster than him. Although I think he's going to end up doing that.
Good hope in yourself. Good faith.
I have
I just have less body mass to carry in general.
That's 100%.
I'm 3 or 4 inches shorter than Ryan, and then also probably like you said, you're 215.
Yeah.
215. I'm like 165 right now. So
yeah,
I have like 50 pounds less to carry.
Yeah, and you're like a generally thinner guy.
Yeah, I just don't have like a. I don't have broad shoulders. It's just kind of like, I don't know.
Like, I wouldn't call myself fat. I would call myself slightly overweight at this point. I would call you, like, normal to thinner.
Yeah. I'm not, like, skinny, but, yeah, I would agree.
So if I could drop 15 pounds in the next...
It'd be a competition if you could drop. Because you have, like, longer legs. Your strides are longer, so... Yeah.
I ran a 4:46 with... No training, like just 15 miles. No running training, just biking and playing soccer twice a week. And so if I can get back down to 195, granted I was 18 years old.
Yeah.
If I could get back down to 195, 190, and train, I think I could crack sub 4.
To go 30 minutes faster than your PR?
I think I can.
You're only doing that if you really push yourself, and yep. I accept the challenge.
I've started dieting. You're not supposed to lose more than a pound a week, but we're technically we're not even in the, like, training season yet. I think the first week is in November.
Yeah.
And so I've got 4 weeks to just be reckless in my weight loss. And so I'm doing 1,000 calorie deficit a day, and I'm just going to try and be down to the 205, 200.
It's cute that you think that you can beat me.
Yeah. Well, but...
Because my first marathon with three-fourths of the training that I wanted to do was 7 minutes slower than your fastest. Or 10 minutes?
Seven. Granted, I only did 8 weeks when I did that 420 set 8.
Yeah.
So.
But you've done 7 marathons.
At that point, yes. Okay. At that point, 6, but yeah.
Oh, that was your 7th. I see.
I've now entered, I think, my prime for running, because I'm no longer an idiot.
Also, age-wise, I think...
It's pretty late. Kipchoge, I don't think, is super young. Who's a dude?
He's 37.
Is he 37? Mm-hmm. Yeah, he just ran a 201.
Yeah. An official 201. At the race you were at.
Did
you
see him? I was on the course. I have a picture of him on the big screen and me way back in my corral. I guess I could post that
somewhere. That's cool.
But it's like me and...
Dude, that'd be so incredible to even say that you were at a race with him.
Yeah, I was on the course. Jasmine saw him.
Oh, yeah.
So, like, all the World Vision people who were cheering for us saw him, and it is impressive. And, like, the craziest part is he, like, the Berlin Marathon goes through the Brandenburg Gate, and then it's, like, 0.2 kilometers, so 200 meters after that. And I'm watching this man. I didn't watch it during the run. I watched the highlight afterwards of him setting the record. And I'm watching him, and I go, I ran that same stretch that same day, and I felt like hell. And that man was 3 hours quicker than me, or like a little under 3 hours quicker than me, and looked like he was having the time of his life.
The fact his face doesn't change for the entire distance.
Mm-hmm.
It's crazy. Mm-hmm. I've watched a lot of videos of him, and because he broke 2 hours
in Vienna, right? But it was an unofficial
race. Yeah, it was an unofficial race. It was a sponsored by, I think,
Nike.
The Nike one he didn't.
Oh, did he not?
He got like 201 pretty much, which is very impressive, obviously. But now he's officially gotten that in an actual race. But he did like an Ineos or something. I think it's his own, like, company, or he's like directly connected to them, but they hosted a race in Vienna just for him to try to break 2.
And he the reason why they don't count it is because it was like some ideal conditions. Like, I don't think it was a point to point race. And I think,
what do you mean?
It's like a circle.
So
like that way the elevation changes 0. If that makes sense.
Oh,
and then I think he was drafting off of a
truck. Oh, yeah. A truck?
Or something. He was drafting off of something.
Well, he had... The whole race had, like, a group of... probably 10 other people who would be
just
pacers.
Just always be in front of him.
Yeah, so they had probably... I mean, I bet
they just
were
changing
people,
them out,
but
constantly.
They just had, like, every 5 miles or something, for example, they would change out the pacers.
And so he was just drafting off.
So he was just drafting for most of the race until, like, the end. But he got, like, 159.45 or something like that.
Yeah. It's crazy. It was funny. When I was watching
I cried.
Berlin, did you?
Yeah, I teared up when watching that. Because it's just such a, like... Because you just see the team of, like, 20 runners who are so stoked around him. Because they all did it together, pretty much, you know? Mm-hmm. But...
Kind of.
Well, yes.
But the craziest thing to me is that, so on during Berlin, like I said earlier, you have an hour, like, wait. The people are, he just has, like, two buddies who are just running as a pair in front of him, So he's drafting off of them. So they're just being sacrificial lambs because they're like, we're not setting the world record. We know who the guy is here. So that he is.
Oh, using so they're actual. Energy. They're not pacers.
They're not pacers. They're his like friends who are official runners. And they're just, I think, going as long as they can in front of him until he like breaks off of them. But it's so crazy to be within a minute of sub. Is he within a minute?
It's probably a little over that, right? Probably like
he's within half. 2 minutes for sure.
Yeah.
Of sub 2 hours. But like those 2 minutes are hell to like try to claw back.
Well, how many seconds is that per for 26 miles?
I think it's like 4 or 5 seconds.
Yeah. But that's crazy.
But yeah, when you're running 440s or whatever he's doing.
Yeah. Like he's running miles. For 26 miles. Faster than...
I could run one.
Well, yeah, that's for sure. But but there was a time in history when people didn't think we could break the 4-minute mile.
So he hasn't broken the 4-minute mile.
Well, not in general, I don't
think. Yeah. I think they first did it in, like, the 1900s.
Mm-hmm.
Like, 1920s or something like that.
Yeah.
And then once it started, it just floodgates.
I don't know what the fastest is now.
I don't want to know.
Yeah.
There are high schoolers running, like, 5Ks, sub-4s.
Yeah.
That's, like, the thing that gets me. It's, like, we've come so far, like, probably nutrition-wise.
Yeah, yeah.
And regiment-wise, that there are high schoolers.
Yeah. I wonder if anyone else will beat... Once Kipchoge, I hope he beats, too.
I wish he had done it. I would have loved to have said I was on the course that day.
Yeah. I bet he'll do it, because there's another one this... He'll probably take a good amount of time off before, a couple months probably.
He'll probably do it on Berlin, because I think Berlin's the like kindest marathon course.
Mm.
It felt like a nice course. It shaded the whole time.
Oh, really?
The weather in Berlin in September is...
Awesome.
Phenomenal.
I'm not excited about March in LA, because there's no shade, isn't there?
It's not that bad. They start, I mean, they don't start as early as OC does, but they start at 7. So we'll start at, like, 7:20.
Yeah, the OC marathon, though, is, like, at the start of summer. So, like, the last 3 miles were just, like, brutal. Cause the sun's beating down on you on, like, this blacktop. And they have you run through the entire OC fair grounds.
Mm-hmm.
And then loop back around to the finish line. Yeah, so I went the entire distance... Cut across the massive parking lot and then came back.
So you could see the finish line then?
Yeah, like, you saw it like coming around like the big loop, pretty much. So that was what was brutal, because like you want to really just push, and then like, because you enter the fairgrounds, and I remember watching the sky, because there's people at the start of the fair, like the entrance of the fairgrounds, cheering for us.
Mm-hmm.
So you felt like, oh, it's coming soon. But I had known the course, and I knew that we looped around, so I was like...
What, was there a mile in there? Mile and a half?
Yeah, it was probably a mile and a half or left, probably. Or maybe two, honestly. Because we had to... Well, so this guy, when we first entered the... You know, you go under, like, this fairgrounds banner, and then kind of run the entire length and loop around. There's people cheering at, like, that part. And this guy... With, like, the adrenaline of, like, cheering with these people, sprints. And you just see him take off. And then 50 meters down, he just starts running normally again.
Because he realizes.
Because he, he just, not collapsed, but, like, you can see him kind of stutter out and just kind of, like, trudge along again. And I think he still beat me in the race, but it was just funny to see, like, he just was like, I was like, you're an idiot. But I even had to walk with it, like, half a mile left because... And you just don't want to so bad. But I was like, I just need to, like, take a quick breather. And then I finished it.
Yeah, I mean, the thing for me is I will trot out. Like, I'll just run walk. Because once I've started run walking, like, it's because my body can't go anymore.
Yeah.
And so, like, the people are like, you've got to run the last mile. I'm like, no.
Yeah.
Absolutely not.
You're finishing it.
That's if anyone is judging me for walking this portion, they can get out on the course and do it themselves.
Yeah.
Because I would love to see them.
Yeah.
And so, that's my thought
process. Tell me about the mental game for you with running? Because you made a comment earlier about, like, weightlifters don't know how to do anything mentally tough. And I want to hear about what about running is so mentally tough.
So,
what requires toughness?
So when I've lifted weights, it's generally like you need a lot of... It's like sprinting. You need a lot of mental push to get through, and then you're done. The thing about running a marathon is you need to get, at least when I was like not training, you'd get to mile 13 and you'd be like, I can't do that twice.
Mm-hmm.
And then you just have to keep pushing your body. And so it's like 2 hours of continued, you just have to keep going.
Yeah.
This is going to be over soon. If you're like, every time I run a marathon, or at least quite a few times when I run a marathon, I get to the point of almost crying because I'm like, this is so hard. I don't want to keep going.
Physically, you're just wasted everything in your energy reserves.
And it's a real bummer to be like, that's where I'm at with 6 miles to go.
Yeah.
On a good day, I'm running that in 50 minutes. On a good day.
Yeah.
This is not a good day. Like, these next 6 miles are going to be 70 to 80.
Yeah.
And so you're like, I've just got to keep chugging.
Yeah.
And so that just, like, to me, is just such a different ask mentally than, like, a higher amount of mental fortitude. Because it is, for me, at least for me, it's harder to push weights than it is to, like, be at mile 20 for those, like, 10 seconds. But it's those 80 minutes that get you. It's like holding a glass of water for 12 hours straight. It's not that bad, but like after a while you're like, this is really annoying the crap out of me.
Because you and I both weren't necessarily like pushing ourselves to beat a time or to like, at least for me, I was like, my goal is to finish it. I had like a goal in my head of like what I wanted to go for, and I was like 20 minutes off from that. Slower than that, but I still, you know, had a goal, but I like ultimately just wanted to finish it, and that was like the goal I'd set for myself. But those last 18 miles, or excuse me, oh, that sounded terrible. The last 18 miles of the marathon were awful. No, the last 6 miles, 6 to 8, were just
hell,
and you just like everyone's cheering for you at different aid stations because they have an aid station probably every mile for like last few miles, it seems, because they just know people need it.
And that's just water and like Gatorade or whatever.
Maybe like energy gel packs or like different food items like an orange or something like that. Those are clutch, but orange is on the race.
I don't eat food going into race day. Like I'll have something small tops and I just go,
it's small like a banana.
Yeah, they'll like feed me on the course or like a PB&J.
Yeah, I did, like, peanut butter and honey.
Which, your race sucks, by the way. When I was out there cheering you on, I'm like, where is everybody? Because, like, LA, it's just, there's people most of the race course, like, just cheering you on. Probably what the OSA Fairgrounds was like. And then it starts to get real wild the last, like, mile of the race.
Like, people just come out to support everyone?
Yeah, people are just there.
Well, it's probably a bigger attendance of runners too.
Yeah, I don't know what OC pulls total wise.
Yeah,
25,000, and LA just does one wave, so there's just people out there the whole time.
Yeah,
there's way more people on the course, significantly more.
Yeah, there's at different points it kind of would get congested, but also the roads were pretty big. Some of them that we were running on, like it was like Jamboree type, you know, roads, like just really wide. I don't know if you know what that is, but
the Jamboree in Irvine.
Yeah, there's up to Irvine in OC.
There's a car place off of Jamboree. What's the name of it?
Like the
Toyota of Orange is off of Jamboree.
Yeah, there's a lot of dealers around there.
Yeah, the reason why I know that is because there used to be Infinite Ads back in the day, and so that's why I know what Jamboree is.
Oh, that's funny. Yeah, but are you saying the course sucked or the attendance?
The attendance
sucked. Like the support?
Yeah. It just like, you're like, why is no one out here?
Yeah. Once, the last few miles, there's points. Honestly, when we're running through the neighborhoods, people would be out like cheering and stuff and they bring their kids out and people would kind of cheer. But that's like so passive, you know.
You're going to see, it's going to be a lot of people.
And I think that inspires you to keep going in ways.
Yeah, you actually, the opposite happens. So with yours, you're kind of just in your, the way that the cheering was, you're kind of just in your zone. You don't drop out at all. With LA, it's literally an active fight to don't let these people push you harder than you are supposed to be going.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Because the energy's there.
I see. That makes sense. Yeah. Is the course hard in LA?
There's two hills. There's one in Koreatown.
Yeah.
And there's one... Do you know where the Mormon temple is?
I would maybe recognize it.
It's actually a beautiful building. I'm not Mormon. Yeah. Just want to clarify that. I forgot. No. but it is... Like, it's just like... They put a lot of money into it.
Yeah.
But there's just like a gradual hill, I think over like 2 miles.
Oh, that sucks.
It's close to West... It's close to UCLA. It's not that far away.
Oh, I see. Yeah, I know the hill in Koreatown that you're talking about.
It's brutal.
Yeah.
It's but they've got steep. Taiko drummers, which is...
Oh, that's fun.
Sick.
Yeah.
There's and so also, many...
Oh.
This is just a side note for LA. They usually have Pink's hot dogs, chili cheese dogs, handing them out at mile 7. Are you going to take one?
I'm gluten-free, so that would literally make me...
That's gonna really throw my numbers back, but... I'm going for it.
I'm not gonna play around with Ryan. I'm such a nice demeanor right now, but I'm not even gonna play around. He might beat me in fundraising because he has like 8 years of experience asking people for it, but he's not gonna beat me time wise.
Yeah. The problem. Yeah. I'll decide on the day of the chili on the day whether I go chili cheese dog.
Yeah.
It's so tasty.
I bet, dude. It sounds good. I would probably want to eat it too, but. There's this guy in the OC race. Well, also, I don't know if I told you. I was sick going into that marathon.
Oh, God. I'm going to get crushed.
I don't think I had COVID, but I couldn't talk the entire race. Like, I saw my friend Chad, and...
I also saw Chad.
Yeah, you did. And you cheered for him, and he was like, what the fuck are you doing?
Who is this idiot? Well, and your wife and your friend.
Yeah, yeah.
So he recognized them.
Oh, yeah.
It was probably weird for him that I was going the hardest, and he's like, I have no idea who this guy is.
Yeah, that's so funny.
Who I had met Chad before.
Oh, really? With Golden?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Just for like 2 seconds tops.
Yeah.
I don't even think we introduced ourselves. I think we just kind of handed off Golden. And then
classic 8 move, just...
It was, alpha, it was 3 like, Enneagram 8s. Yeah, just like,
here you go. Okay, goodbye.
Have fun.
Yeah. No, because the night before, I was the host of an event, like a TEDx event, so for my job. So we did like a panel on coffee in the coffee industry,
mm-hmm.
and I was the host for that. And I was already like coughing then, and my throat was going out, and then I had to like be a host and like be like an MC kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
And then that ended at 9, and then I had to go home and wind down, get ready for bed, wake up at 4:30, and in the morning I like could barely talk. It was just like super sore throat, and yeah, it was just like kind of that like mucusy sick, you know. Mm-hmm. I don't think it was COVID, but I hope it wasn't, but I didn't take a test to see. But
dude, the last I ran a marathon in 2020, the week before LA shut down.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. And I, like, sit there and go, that probably was a bad idea. But also,
okay.
For the most part, it was 40,000 people all open air. So, like, at least we weren't running in, like,
yeah. What we know now, like, I could see, like, 2 weeks later, you're like, oh, crap.
That was a bad idea. But, like, now you're like some people probably spread it there.
Yeah.
But it was open air beginning to end.
Yeah. So, as long as I'm not sick, I think... I would love to get a sub-4. I just know that cutting 30 minutes off a time...
What's your comfortable mile time right now?
I'm not doing longer runs. I'm doing, like, 2 or 3.
Yeah, what are you doing, though, like, for those?
I'm getting... My slow pace is, like, 9:30, and my fast pace is, like, 8.
Okay. You've got a pretty wide range. I'm trying to think what I did...
Well, I don't know if that's accurate. I'm just guessing.
The other thing is Jeremy uses... I suggest getting, like, one of the GPS apps on your phone. Jeremy uses... You use the Nike one, right?
Yeah.
I'm pretty committed to Strava or Strava. I don't actually know which one it is. But I ran a 10K on 829s the other day. Granted, I pushed myself pretty hard for that.
Well, that's a good 10K.
And so I'm sitting here thinking... Jeremy's within touching distance. If I can just lose those 10 to 15 pounds. Because apparently each pound you lose when you're overweight, not like it, and it has like a cap, but when you're not in like peak fitness, every pound that you lose is like a second and a half to 2 seconds per mile. And so I'm thinking.
Interesting. Yeah, I lied. My average pace this month, I've done 6 runs, is around like 9:18. But, you know, it'll fluctuate at different points in the...
You better get your ass in shape.
Yeah, I know.
Or else it's going to get fucking white.
Yeah, I know.
On race day. I'm feeling good. You've got me so motivated right now to stick to my training plan. The World Vision training plan, their peak mileage is 40 miles. I was planning on doing a 50 as my peak anyway because I want to get that consistency.
Per week?
Not per week, at its peak. So I'll probably build up to 50 once like training actually starts, which is a lot of miles.
Yeah,
it is. It's like 3 10-mile runs and a 20-miler. But I'm down.
Yeah. Because how much time is that in a week? Like, let's say on let's just
say you're running 10-minute miles.
It's easy.
It's 500 minutes. That's what, just under 10 hours. It's like 8.5 hours.
Yeah, just over 8.
820.
833.
Yeah, 820.
Oh, yeah.
I'm pretty quick with the maths.
Yeah, I'm not good with the numbers, I guess.
And so that's my goal. But the dude, one of the World Vision runners, ran a 235 in Berlin. And I was like, oh, what is he... Like, I was talking to his wife. I'm like, oh, what does he do for training? I'm like, he's like, oh, he runs 70 miles in a week. And you're like, how do you squeeze that in? Like, that's got to be 5 days a week.
But that's probably around... 8 hours for him, though.
Probably.
You know, like, if he's running twice as fast as us, almost,
mm-hmm.
then he's running the same amount.
He's running 6-minute miles.
But, like, or same time amount,
mm-hmm.
but just the wear on his body is much different.
Yeah.
I think...
The mental side is fine, yeah, the wear on your body. But I just am like, I don't understand.
I don't know how you recover. I'm not good at recovery. That's honestly my weak point with running.
I've been stretching. This is the first marathon that I've been actively stretching after my runs.
It's just because I'm running it with you, huh? I'll take all the credit for your success.
I love to give credit to others.
I
am very strongly motivated by other people. So
yeah.
You, like, saying I'm going to run faster than me, I'm like, I can push myself harder. So whatever you're doing, I'm willing to push to that level and try and get slightly ahead. And
that's fair. Should we... Well,
$100 bet right now for running faster.
We should just do like a nice dinner, like a five star dinner.
Well, I was gonna say donation, $100 donation to the loser.
Oh, I see.
I don't.
Can you still collect money after?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Also, this is a funny story. When I first started running, my first year I raised $600, which is nothing to scoff at.
No.
But my sister-in-law... No, that's wrong. I raised $300. But my sister-in-law, the following year, I decided to run again against my better judgment. I hate running marathons, by the way. I used to. I love them now.
Mm-hmm.
But my sister-in-law, like, 3 weeks before the marathon, I'm at, like, $200 raised. And she goes, when are you going to hurry your ass up? And I said, how dare you? And so then she was, like, at $1,500 raised at that point. And I just made it my goal to catch her. And so I was, like, asking everybody that I could. And I ended up falling short by $50. But I ended up raising $2,000 in, like, 2 weeks.
That's crazy. Yeah, I've done a lot of mission trips. And I have a fairly decent support system that I could, like, reach out to. And I'm just expecting, you know, like, Christmas presents just... give me money for this and, you know, stuff like that, early birthday presents. I don't know.
Yeah.
So
dude, I will tell you right now, just make a list of like 100 people you can
ask and just reach out.
And just ask. I think I have my list for who I asked last year, and I think I'm just gonna try and get that to 200 to 300 people who I know.
Yeah.
Give them personal text messages, shoot them emails.
Mm-hmm.
Will you sponsor or will you support my run?
Yeah.
It's hard to get to 10,000. A lot of things had to go right, but I think you could probably hit 2,000 to 5,000 if you made a list of 200 people who you could ask.
Yeah. If I game plan. I'll do that over Christmas break, probably, and just game plan and do, like, a push. I'll do some asking now for a couple months, you know, but...
There are double days, by the way, where people will offer to match, and just some generous donors will match $80,000 on, like, Giving Tuesday. So for every dollar you get somebody to donate, they'll match that dollar, and so they do that until it runs out. And so if you're really trying to, like...
Giving Tuesday?
Giving Tuesday is the Tuesday after Thanksgiving.
Oh, okay.
It's after Cyber Monday.
That's a great idea. That'll be my first push.
Yeah. So you give people a heads up like a week out. Hey, this if you donate this day, it's a double, and then you just are sending like emails and text messages.
Oh, like on World Vision itself, or
yeah.
How do you have to get connected to those, or is it just like a promo that they're kind of doing?
It's a promo that World Vision does.
Oh, I see. So you just have to be getting money on that day.
On that day. You have to be one of the first, like, $80,000.
Yeah.
And then they, like, do that throughout the week. So that's how I raised, I think, like, $4,000 or $5,000.
Oh, I see. That makes sense.
In the last week of Marathon.
Berlin? No.
L.A. So in March, because I just was... asking a million people, hey, this is getting matched. Hey, this is getting matched. And some people, their money won't get matched, but they don't care. They're not thinking about that.
Yeah, yeah.
But yeah, anyway.
That's solid. Yeah, I'm excited. Because I did this first marathon pretty much all by myself. In the sense of, like, I talked to you and, you know, asked for advice and tips and stuff. And I had another person I knew, Chad. But all the training, all the running, all the... research and like all of that was all done by myself. So I'm excited to get to do this with you, and then we'll eventually, you know, run with the running team and stuff. And
yeah,
that'll be really fun, I think. And I think
it's way better.
Yeah, I imagine.
I have a friend who I already run with on those runs, and I think you'll like him. We run about the same pace.
How many people go
to that specific one? Probably like 10 to 15.
Yeah, so it's
most of them are half marathoners.
Oh, sure.
So there's only... this last year is only me, my brother, my friend Patrick.
That's why I thought it was your group, because you would just talk about all your buddies and
no, in-laws I am just another person in the... another cog in the wheel.
Where is Hawthorne? Excuse me. LA.
Hawthorne? So this one's in Westchester, so by the airport. Oh. LAX.
Oh, I see.
So
on Saturday morning.
Yeah, if you want to go to that, I assume we would commute, like meet at some parking
lot
and ride out from there. But yeah, running Berlin, training for Berlin on your own is just was hell for
me. I bet, dude.
But like running LA, you're like, oh, I'm excited.
Yeah. But do you know what's crazy?
What?
I ran my first marathon with no music.
You know that's how all the big six are? Chicago, New York.
You're not allowed.
Boston, Berlin, Tokyo, London. You're not supposed to run with headphones.
Do people do that though still?
I mean, I did it for the last 8 miles. But like it's a safety thing because there's so many people out on the course. You have to like be aware of your surroundings.
Oh, interesting. That's why like I have the Shox headphones. Have you seen those?
Yeah.
Bone vibration.
So my guy, my boy who did 235, he runs with Aftershocks. He says they're great.
They are.
They're like, awesome. I don't know if I could use this for a marathon because...
Why?
The length of time I would need them for would be...
Oh. It's the battery life. It's different.
Yeah. So like my headphones I have now are 4 hours, but they're boxed so I can charge them.
Oh, yeah.
Actually, I lost them in Berlin.
Oh, why?
I don't know. I either got pickpocketed after
why.
The race.
That was so dumb.
I either got pickpocketed after the race, or when I sat down, they slipped out of my pocket.
Yeah.
I went back to the place the following day, just because it was by Brandenburg Gate, and I wanted to do nice stuff with Jasmine. They weren't there.
Yeah. Do you, Do you have any gear that you like specifically? What shoes do you run in? And
I run in ASIC gels. Oh, my advice is to go to Roadrunner.
Yeah, that's my go-to now.
Get your shoes fitted 300 to 400 miles or 400 to 500 miles, something like that. Yeah. I think it's 3 to 4.
3 to 5 is the is range. Is it 3 to 5? When I researched it, yeah.
Yeah, get some fitted shoes because everybody's different. So like when I step, I think my legs pronate, so they bend in, so I need stability shoes.
Yeah.
And then I run with gels. I don't
gel Nimbus. No, that's
gel Nimbus is the shoes that I run with. But and then for like consumption on long runs, I do. What are they called? It's just like the gels that are in like little packets.
There's a lot of brands. I use Goo personally.
Oh, that's right. I use Goo too. Some people say that Goo is the worst one, but I haven't
tried it. For you or taste wise?
For you is what I've heard.
Goo's been around the longest. They're the first that I remember seeing.
I mean, it's been great for me. I've noticed my runs are way better.
Yeah, I LOL. Use
runs.
Nice.
Because it messes. They also mess with, they don't mess with my stomach, but if I only had Goo's, I would.
Oh yeah, but I feel like that's every.
I would get the runs.
Joe, yeah, but I ran in Nike Pegasus shoes
mm-hmm.
that had too many miles on them for my marathon. So I think I'm going to get shoes a month out from the marathon and break them in a little bit. Because about that point in my training, I'll need new shoes anyways, I think. Yeah. So
I would probably go 8 weeks just to really make sure.
They're solid.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because I have two pairs right now that I alternate between. Because the science in the shoe is you need to, like, let them, the foam kind of expand again after, like, for 48 hours, or 24 hours, I should say. So, I use Nike Pegasus 39s, so the newer ones,
mm-hmm.
which I don't like as much as the 38s.
You can probably find the 38s online.
For cheap, oh yeah.
I was going to go to the store, and then I found the exact shoes I had, but in a different color, and they were $50 cheaper than the new ones.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm probably just going to continue buying the same exact ones, just yeah. a year delayed.
Yeah, yeah. I think that's smartest, because Nike probably changes the structure more than some other companies would, but I haven't been running long enough to see the changes. But then I have the Hoka One One Mach 8 or something like that. So they're like mid-cushion. They're about the same as the Pegasus cushion-wise.
Yeah, I'm faithful to one shoe. I say this one's gonna be my shoe, cause like I get the like tightness on the bottom of my foot, and
yeah. Do you have insoles?
No.
I love the insoles.
Did you buy them?
Uh huh. They're pretty nice. Cause then I put them in my actual other shoes, and it just feels like the same shoe.
Between, all the time.
Yeah.
How much did they cost?
They're like $75, $80.
How many miles do they get? Same length? 300?
No, I put probably, well, because I would wear them casually as well, I put way more miles than my just running shoes alone. But they eventually like kind of snapped, and wore out on the bottom, so I had to get new ones.
Yeah, that's one of those things in the running community that it's just split. And so I just decided not to get it because it was split. So like half the people adore them and half the people go, they don't really make a difference.
Yeah. For me, I think it did. It's definitely comfortable over the long run.
Yeah, I don't have any problems with my shoes at this point. So like my toes will blister every once in a while.
Yeah, my toes get crushed. And like I have like no toenails for like half my toes, or like they're really janky. And then I'll get blisters on my feet and stuff. But I think I need a big toe box because my toes are very wide.
What, do you run a 4E?
No.
2E?
I don't know.
You can get, like, wider at the front because I also have a wide
yeah.
top of foot. So I'm wearing a 12 4E.
I don't know.
It's just the, width.
I need to look into that, I guess. Because different shoes obviously are made differently. The Hokas feel a lot better in the toe box, and they're more narrow around like the ankle and everything.
Is that the one that has the weird like back?
Uh-huh. Well, one of them. I'll show you in a second. So I got those. I like them. I found that the shoes that are less firm and more cushy, like a lot of the, you know, race day shoes are a lot cushier because mm-hmm. they have like that spring, and those, my knees couldn't take them before. I've strengthened my knees a lot, but like before they couldn't take the cushiness because it was too like too soft and everything. So I needed more stability and firm shoes, but I'm hoping that I can start to get some of those more cushy shoes just mm-hmm. for like a race or something like that. Be cool.
Yeah. I think that's a good place to end.
Yeah.
This was my favorite conversation we've had yet.
This is the most productive.
We need to find things that we both really like.
Yeah, that's probably good because I just joke around for both the other conversations we had. I just was making jokes. But this was fun to actually have something to contribute rather than just listen. But we'll probably have stuff where I have no idea and I just make jokes about it.
Dude, I'm stoked. I'm stoked to be in your shoes when we do coffee because I don't drink coffee. I don't care for coffee.
Yeah.
And I just want to know. I just want you to just dump.
We can do coffee next week.
Do you want to do coffee?
Yeah, or next time. That'd be fun.
All right, sweet.
But anyways, this is Pulling Crayons. We are still morons, but we had a good conversation.
Yeah.
Have a good one.